Oh, you pressed it.
Welcome back to What Makes a Cut, where Ryan has decided we're going to change the format once again.
Oh, come on, we're only like, this would be episode...
12, 11.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of this throughout it, and if you prefer the old format, like the new format, let us know, we'll chop change. We don't have a problem with either, just, you know...
Yeah.
We're trying to work out the kinks.
Well, that's the thing. I just want to give it a go to see how we operate. So, I'm hoping for, half an hour, 40-minute episode. Yeah. See how where that lands us.
We're like that crinkled shirt your mum wants you to wear to church, where she's just trying to iron out those creases. Make it nice and smooth.
Yeah, but it's you and me. There's always going to be creases.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it.
What did we sit down and watch this week, Joe?
It was supposed to be two movies we mentioned in the last one, but I decided we're going to watch Weathering With You. It had some sci-fi fantasy stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
fun fact, I realized you can watch both of these on Netflix.
Yes. That is where I found them. Well, I had heard of them in the grapevine, but... So, Weathering With You, set during a period of exceptionally rainy weather. High school boy Hadoka Morishima runs away from his troubled rural home to Tokyo. He befriends an orphan girl who can manipulate the weather.
Is that the movie you sat down and watched this week?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's actually a really good synopsis.
So, this was directed and written by Makoto Shinkai. He did...
Your Name?
Your Name. That's it. I had it, but I was going to call it It Takes Two. No. He did Your Name, and this is piggybacking off that. It's not the same story or anything, but the success of that helped with this.
Yeah.
It was produced by Wakana Okamura and Kinoe Ito. I believe these two people are the main two characters who have the most screen time. Kotaro Daigo and Nana Mori. I didn't know animation had this. Cinematography.
Yeah.
Ryosuke Suda and edited by Makoto Shinkai. The budget was $11 million US.
How much did this make?
$193 million US.
Good on them. That is a big paycheck. That's a big paycheck.
I want to...
For an animation movie, and let's face it, the Western world really knows Studio Ghibli more than anything else for animated movies. So, for... this director to come out, write this movie, get it animated, and then make fucking bank. I think that proves to that. I think that's like writing on the wall to the quality of this movie.
Yeah. So I want to jump into my first point.
That's fair.
Okay. Now, we all know that movies have certain boundaries they need to stay in, even with CG.
Well, there's the four walls.
Yeah. Yep. Roof and floor. I know the bet.
Yeah, okay.
I felt like... I felt in this, they stayed within them. The cameras didn't do anything a camera couldn't normally do. They're on a bench. The camera's in front of them. Close up to one, back to another, over to the other.
I agree to an extent.
Even when they're moving and stuff are obstructing, the camera's panning in. And as it gets to the point where the camera's about to breach that wall, the wall ends. Camera can move through because it's not going through any physical objects that would realistically.
Yeah, they are actually directing it in a way that the camera is physically watching these and characters.
I felt like that's what kept me in the scene in the moment, like any actual movie would. If they have a CG wall there and they go through the wall, it's like, okay, you're gonna have to like put maybe a glass there and some sort of effect, not just whoop through a wall.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I disagree to an extent because there's a lot of... This movie has a lot of, obviously, mystical elements.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of upside down falling through the sky.
Yeah.
That breaks immersion for me in the way you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I know there's no physical way a camera can do that. Yeah. And I just talk it up to being an anime. But...
I just want Mission Impossible Fallout. Halo jump? Guy really did it? There is a way.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't deny there's a way.
I do agree with you, though. In the way they're doing it, where they're falling from, like, the clouds and they're upside down, the water and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, in real life, there'd be CG elements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's very... They're falling at the same rate, then all of a sudden they're not, and then they are, and they're not, and then they are.
It made it very jarring for me, because at the start of the movie, I did feel what you were talking about. Like, it was very grounded in reality, which I enjoyed. And then anytime a mystical element showed up, it just kind of flipped the script and really took me out of it. And I'll be frank with you, Josh. I watched this in bed last night.
There's your problem.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
Oh, it is. A lot longer than I thought.
It's a long movie. I checked the time at 20 minutes in.
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah, I see your first point, slow burning.
So, I felt this movie was a fucking slow burn. Yeah. And plot points that didn't go anywhere.
There were quite a few, yeah.
Why did he run away from home?
Yeah.
Like,
I was waiting throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. I thought that would be like his mum was a sunshine girl too.
Because at the start, you know, he's like, I'm running away from home, and he has band-aids all over him. Explain.
Yeah, like, what happened?
Like, he mentions, I'm never going back there. I'm never going back there. Like
he's very fervent.
There was moments where when that guy who took him in is like, you need to go back home. He could have lost his shit and said, I'm not going back there. This is what they did to me, if they did.
Yeah.
But they never did. They kind of like just kept it kind of hush, hidden. Hush.
I do, before we get too far away from it, we do open up on this kid. I think he's like 15 or something.
16.
16.
Which in Australia, you can leave home at 16.
Yeah. Which, and there was a big emphasis on student ID card.
Yes, because they can't get a job unless they're like out of school age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Which is why they mention at the end of the movie that she's only 15.
Yeah.
And she lied on her resume saying she was 18.
Yeah. I don't really want to go through step by step this movie. I just don't care enough. I think that's foreshadowing for my opinion on this. But little nuances. You watched this subbed, right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Ah.
However, the English voice actor for Hidoka sounds like Tom Holland.
Really?
Yeah, it's not at all, but it really, I was like, Spider-Man? Like, it...
Better start climbing them walls, boy.
Yeah, I know, right? The voice acting for the English voice acting for this is actually really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they did a really good job in casting it to kind of bring it to a new audience.
Well, it was designed to breach the world because, like, anime is bigger. When we grew up, we got bullied for watching anime.
Oh, yeah.
So, anime is bigger now. I have people that never watched Bleach growing up, and they're excited for...
Thousand Year Blood War. Yeah.
They're the same people that, you know, they started with, obviously, Attack on Titan.
No. Oh,
bro, obviously. Anime.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you, in a sense, but you're also the type of guy that won't watch any slice of life.
Yeah, no, I'm really shonen. Against watching
shonen. Shonen is made for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Young boy anime
fucking
is made for you.
Yeah.
So
I also like my superheroes and my coffee.
There is a slight bias.
Absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, I'm 100% biased in this.
Yeah.
I really didn't enjoy this movie. And your second point says, I was told this was a fun movie.
Yeah. They lied.
Who lied to you?
So many fucking people.
Who hurt you, Josh?
So many people. At the start, it obviously starts off kind of slow, and they're developing the characters and stuff like
there
that.
There is a very big... Like, we were talking about a slow burn in Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, this...
This is a bigger slow
I
burn.
I even looked. I didn't look at 10 minutes, but I looked and I was like, fuck, when it...
Yeah.
I knew what was going to happen. It follows the same thing. It's like you have the fun part, then you have the turmoil, and then you have the resurrection.
Oh, yeah. There's the standard three acts.
So, looking at it, I'm like, when the fuck is the bad shit going to happen? They have to have the down. Halfway through the movie, I was 51 minutes. I remember it clearly. 51 minutes through, I'm like, don't tell me that this is the whole movie of, oh, she makes it sunny. She stops the rain. Oh, where's the bad shit?
So, and then,
almost like 10 minutes after that, bad shit starts happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay. It only took a fucking hour, But now they're explaining what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. So, essentially, this main chick is, quote-unquote, a sunshine girl.
Yeah.
She can pray to the gods and make it sunny for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I think the thing, they say a brief period of time. Yeah. So
about a day.
So, him and her start making money off it, yeah. You know? And it not any fixed rate I was seeing. It was whatever the person can afford.
Yeah.
So, it was like they did it for kids so they could have a sport day. And they got like 2 yen, I think, or something. Like, it's whatever they could afford.
And I'm pretty sure there was an IOU.
Yeah.
There was an IOU of 200 yen.
There's a little montage of like money being transferred over. Sometimes it's like 4,000 yen or whatever. But they didn't explain it to me properly. How can she do this?
She just prays. Mystical.
So you're telling me if tomorrow was a sunshine girl, that would mean you and me as atheists are wrong.
Bro.
Do you know the ramifications of this story?
They do go to the priest. And the priest explains that there were, like, weather maidens and stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, it like any fantasy thing, it dives more into the mythos of Japanese.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing that when her mom, you know, she says that her mom was sick and she wanted to have one more bright sunny day. She saw a shrine. She went there. She prayed. And then she woke up and it was sunny.
Yeah.
And that's when she was connected to the weather. You go through the movie, that gets explained towards the end. They explain that, you know, weather maidens, and the only way to stop the rain is for the weather maiden to sacrifice herself. And then that appeases the dragon.
Yeah, the sky will clear up and, it'll go back to a normal weather event.
Because essentially what they've done is they've said, all right, cool, give me your life and I'll make it sunny.
Yeah.
But you can have some fun, but until then, you're raining.
Yeah.
So, It's just it plays more on the Japanese culture and their beliefs. And you see one of the coolest fucking animated cloud dragons I've ever seen. Like, guy goes to save his girlfriend and then
it's pretty alright.
Oh, that you just see this long fucking cloud and you can tell it's a dragon.
Yeah.
And I love the visuals in it. I love the visuals in this movie.
So, I didn't check the timestamps, but end of Act 2, she disappears.
Yeah,
she's been using the power to...
She shows her titties and then boop.
Yep. Which, she's translucent half water at that point. Yeah. But, yeah, so they're running away, her and her little brother in Hidoka. Yeah.
He's a ladies' man, her little brother.
Oh, all right.
Smooth as fuck. So the boy from the bus, do I know you?
I should call you senpai.
Yeah. And he does the entire thing.
He does for the rest of the movie. But yeah, like, she just disappears, and I guess that's her being sacrificed. He has a fucking mental break.
Oh yeah, he snaps.
Yeah, and
I found that pretty powerful though, because he's a teenager. He just fell in love.
Yeah,
and now something that he can't explain happens. So he's gone straight to, like, it's got to be what she's told me.
She's got to be sacrificed. Yeah. Like, that's why it's sunny.
Yeah, I'm going to go get her back.
He's running from the cops. He's running from his old, like, employer that took him in. Yeah. He's fucking just distraught to get to this Tory gate to pray and save her. This is the end of the movie, by the way, because there's... Seriously, it's such of a slow burn. I feel like nothing happens.
There are moments where you're like, oh, this is getting good, and then it's just slow again.
Yeah,
then
it gets good, then it's nothing slow again. Happens. Yeah. And there's two or three scenes that last for like 10 minutes each of just explaining a thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so the first half an hour, he finds this dude, he takes him in, and they write like mystical articles.
Yeah.
For the internet.
Fun stuff.
And the first thing they talk about are sunshine girls and if they're real or what that means, you know, and then they interview people about sunshine girls. We've already been slightly introduced to this chick and I'm like, great, she's a sunshine girl.
Yeah, that was obvious at the start of the movie when it shows her at the start of the movie going to a gate to pray for sunshine.
But you don't know that at that point. That's the first scene in the movie, but you don't know that.
I kind of did when she looks over and there's just one area of sunshine. I was like, she gonna pray and it gonna stop rain. I didn't think she was gonna.
That's not what that meant to me though. That was like, okay, you're in a hospital. I can't see who's in the bed. Is that the dude? Is this like weird, timey-wimey stuff? Okay, there's a sun thing. You're depressed. You want to go to the ray of sunshine. That's fine. I understand that.
I only think
there's a gate. You're praying.
I only figured because of the synopsis of the movie, because I knew she could control the weather.
I didn't read the synopsis. Yeah. I literally just sat down and watched this movie.
Because I knew it was about a guy who meets a girl who can control the weather, I thought at that point she already knew how to control the weather.
But that's her praying
to gain the power. She had to go there. Yeah. To you know, that because of the sunshine, I was like, okay, that's where she goes to stop the rain. That's where she goes to control the weather. I didn't know. I figured it was literally they hadn't met each other at that point yet because he's not there. And I was like, all right, cool. That's where she goes. She doesn't want the rain anymore. That's where she goes. And then they don't show her waking up or anything like that at that point. But then he's on a boat and a monsoon comes and he's just standing there like, rain.
Oh, like a 2 second monsoon.
Monsoons don't last that long.
How am I meant to know that?
Monsoons are normally quick.
But, like...
They're high winds, heavy rain, and then they just roll right over.
Okay.
But he's like, oh my God, almost dies, guy saves him. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so they're definitely not
together right now. And then I started thinking, but you have here lazy foreshadowing. I agree.
Yes, that's my second point.
They show a point. You're like... That's going to play effect later.
Like, I don't know if I've told you, but Western movies, if there's ever a scene in a classroom, pay attention. Because that's the point of the movie.
Huh.
Like, anytime... what's that movie? If you watch... I think it's called The Covenant.
Yeah.
It's like male witches in high school or whatever. Like, Chronicle before it was cool.
Yeah.
There's like...
Harry Potter ain't got shit on me.
Yeah, that. Yeah. They say that in the... Yeah. Wait, you've seen The Covenant?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, but there's like 10 scenes of them in school talking about Salem witch trials. It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is lazy foreshadowing for the Western audience. This seemed like, okay, this happened. Oh, I guess I got to remember that.
The biggest thing for me that made me go, that's going to play effect later, was when he finds the gun in a bin.
Yeah, but that's a dumb plot hole.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because they start looking for him because he points a gun at someone.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's the gun that another criminal has hidden.
Yeah.
We got to find that boy to find the gun. He wasn't necessarily in trouble.
And his excuse... Okay. I understand I listened to the English dub.
They didn't give an excuse for the gun.
Okay. They did in the English dub, but I also had subtitles on, so I was watching the same... I was reading the same subtitles as you. They were speaking differently, though. So, at one point he says, oh, I kept it because it was a good luck charm.
Yeah, he does say that. He says, I thought
it... Fucking idiot!
I thought it was fake. I kept it because I thought it was, you know, it'd be a good luck charm.
Yeah.
And that kid gets his face punched so many times.
Yeah, that kid's face gets
even fucked. The cops slam his face in the ground.
Yeah, hey.
But, yeah, the gun...
Ripped by chain link as well. Like, fuck.
The gun was something that they, you know, it was literally... he finds it in a bin. He's picking up cans that he knocks over. He gets pushed into a bin, knocks it over, picks up cans, finds it, goes, oh, what's this? Takes to a thing, opens it, goes, fuck, gun, stashes it in his bag.
Yeah.
And I go to myself, like, that'll play effect later. That's... And then shortly later, he points it at someone. They go to the building, throws it, because he's like, oh, fuck, I just... You know, this is dangerous. Then you're supposed to forget it, because at that point, it kind of symbolizes, all right, this plot point's over. Gun no more.
Yeah,
I felt like because they came back and they're like, we're looking for the boy with the gun, I was like, the gun's still in it.
Yeah.
But there's so many plot points about so many different things. Some of them drop off.
He still keeps that gun till the end of the movie, doesn't he?
No, he leaves it in the building. And then
in the same building.
He
gets
kicked. He bites the guy kicks him off, and then he lands into the next to the gun. He pulls it on. He was like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling gun on me, man?
Pocket gun.
Somebody call an ambulance, but not for me.
So there's a filmmaking don't want to say trope, but kind of like rule of thumb called Chekhov's gun. If you see a gun in Act 1, you have to fire it by Act 3.
Oh.
Like, it's
one fired of, it in Act 1.
Yeah, there's, it's one of those, like, unspoken rule kind of things, like Occam's razor. Like, you know, like, I can't think of any more off the top of my head, but, like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you show a plot point to the audience, you have to bring it back by the end of the movie. You have to do something with it. Otherwise, it becomes a plot hole, and that destroys your movie. I feel like, yeah, they used the gun at the end of the movie. Yeah, they shot it in Act 1, but it still didn't fucking bring anything to the movie. The only reason that gun was in there is so the police could find him.
Yeah.
That's it.
They do say that he's a runaway, but they don't mention that until later.
Yeah.
They're like, we're looking for this boy. It's probably the gun that such and such hid.
Mm.
And then they're probably doing more of an investigation on who the boy is and find out he has a missing persons report.
Yeah.
So...
But they also say... Oh, towards the end of the movie when they're back in that building, the dude that he's been working for says to him, like, it's okay. Like, you haven't done anything bad yet. Just head to the police, tell them what you know, and they'll take you home. Like, you haven't done anything bad. He shot at a person.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. But, yeah, hasn't done anything bad yet.
Yeah.
I want to go to my third point.
Yep.
Are runaways that prominent in Japan that...
I don't know.
He gets asked multiple times, where are your parents?
Yeah.
Are you a runaway?
It's a thing. And like, this is a group of young kids, like 15, 16.
They're constantly being asked, you know, why are you out this late?
Yeah, there's also a montage when they're trying to run away and they're trying to land a hotel. It's like, student ID card, student ID card, student ID card, get out of here, street rats, get out. Like, it must be, like, super prominent.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's take a quick Google.
While you do that Google, we'll come back to that point. What do you mean by the movie title having double meaning?
So, I finished this movie, and although I wasn't a fan, didn't really like it, talk about that more at the end, I still felt a lot at the end of the movie. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Because it jumps forward 3 years and Tokyo's sinking. Yeah. The rain has not stopped. She is still alive. The rain has not stopped. And it's like, I think the quote is, I don't care if I see the sun ever again. I just want to be with you. And
You looked over to your left and you saw Alyssa and you're like...
Yeah. At this point, she was sleeping for work. So it was like, I looked over and she went... I went, oh, cute. Like, yeah. So I just thought, like, it's so basic of an emotion, weathering with you, spelt the way weather is for the, you know, forecast of weather. It's so, like, basic. So
you're taking it as, like, weathering because it's got to do with weather and growing old. Because when you weather something, it gets old.
Yeah, but I meant like growing... I meant like old as in... for fuck's sake, you fucked me up now. I mean weather as in the phenomenon.
Yeah.
And weathering as in fighting against the world with you.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure you've said that to your missus. It's a cliche thing every guy has said. You and me versus the world.
Nope. Sure, well, fucking own.
Fucking...
No, keep it up your sleeve. I've never said it.
Yeah, keep it up your sleeve. It's great. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, because if you're in a long-term relationship, it essentially is you versus the world. Like, everything becomes a two-people thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the most minute detail that a single person deals with, you now have to deal with double the amount.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, when you're single and you're trying to get into a house, it's you on your own trying to get into a house. It's your tribulations. When you're in a relationship, you also have that other person's tribulations.
Yeah.
So you got your problems that you need to deal with, and you have their problems that you have to deal with. You know, when you're trying to get a car, you have your problems to deal with. You have their problems.
Yeah.
You know,
money always becomes a two-person thing.
Yeah. And just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner, you know, yeah. Going out to friends.
Absolutely.
You know, there are a lot of times where my missus doesn't come over because she doesn't feel like it. I'm like, you can stay in bed. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
But that's a decision we have to make together.
Yeah, you have to verbally talk to her. Yeah. Talk to her about it.
I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go over Ryan and Lissa's. Like, you know, do you want to come? She's like, no. I'm like, well, if you don't want to go, do I really want to go?
Yeah.
Like,
becomes a discussion over the smallest detail. And that's what I think, I think it's pretty obvious, but the title has double meaning.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because by the end of the movie, they're literally... Well, actually, by the end of Act 2, all of Act 3 and the end of the movie, they're weathering their lives together. Yeah. You know, they're being chased by the cops. They're trying to run away. Like,
it's
the best they can do. He also does say at the end of the movie that, like, because it time skips 3 years... he was sentenced and trialed.
Probation.
Yeah, and put on probation until he finished school.
There's a funny thing. He thinks a girl's about to confess her love to him. She's like, is it true that you're wanted by the cops in Japan or in Tokyo? And he's like, huh?
Damn. So Japan actually has a pretty high homeless rate.
Oh, damn.
But I can't find anything...
Yeah.
About age range. It is on the decrease 12.4% from 2019, though.
Cool.
It's 4,600 males, 177 female, and it says 193 people of obscurity.
Nice. Yeah. The thing that bothered me throughout the whole movie is, like you mentioned before, they don't explain why he left.
Yeah.
They kind of explain the girl, her mother died.
Yeah. So, it's her and her brother, and she's had to say she's 18.
So, what confused me is that the whole movie, she says, I'm 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cops come, and she's like, they're going to separate us. I was like, but if she's 18 in a couple of days, they might separate them for a few days, but then put them back together.
Yeah, just keep them holding for 48 hours.
They don't tell you, foreshadowing. Foreshadowing. Yeah. I was like, but why would they separate them? Didn't click to me until the guy's like, she's 15. He's like, I'm the eldest.
Yeah, because he's 16 at that point. Also, I kept forgetting that these were like young teenagers.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, she's 18. He's like 15. 16. That's a little weird.
Like the guy says, 16, 17, 18, there's no difference.
Yeah, I'm sure the fucking hustler for the ladies' club also fucking thought that way.
Gets chased by the cops. He's like, I didn't know she was underage. We're not here for that. You should be!
Yeah, I know, right? You should hear him say that and go, all right, well, we weren't going to take you down the station, but now we are.
So next time I choose an animated movie, it'll be one with guns in it.
Why?
Because you didn't enjoy one that was all lovey-dovey, slice of life.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I didn't enjoy it, but it's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's that, man, it was such a slow burn. And I felt like the art style was very... It was too flowy. It was too much motion happening. Beautiful animation. I think it fucking is better than Studio Ghibli's animation. I think it was...
Away, who animated it?
But it's like I grew up on Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle. Like I grew up on those movies. They were on the same shelf as fucking Lion King and Disney animated movies. Like there was no difference to me. So it's not that I'm like, oh, I hate anime or anything. I love anime, but it's this story, this writing. You know what? Now that I think of it. I think the acting from the English cast, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because everything felt like a monotoned conversation.
There was a lot of emotion in the Japanese one.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of emotion. Like, fuck, when he's screaming at the cops, he's like fucking, the microphone's about to peak.
Oh, okay.
He's screaming. Fuck, he's maybe like, maybe I shot myself in the foot here. He's like, let me go. I have to get her. And he's like, you can... fucking feel it.
Yeah, the English dub is like, let me go, I need to find her.
No, he's like, let me go. It's okay. Oh, fucking all right, calm down, Naruto. There were moments where I was like, is this the voice actor of Deku?
Alyssa watches My Hero in dub anyway.
Yeah,
Yeah.
So she gets the prepubescent Deku.
Yeah. She gets the voice breaking Deku.
Yeah.
So would you like to know the Rotten Tomatoes for this movie?
Yes, please.
Well, how about you guess them? You know how this works.
70 for audience and 80 for 81 for...
You always stare me directly in the eyes every time I get you to guess the scores.
80 for the other. Sorry, no, 70 for critics. Sorry, I was
going to do 70 for critics.
81 for audience.
I think you'll be happy. 92% for critics, certified fresh. 96% audience. Very, very good movie. Like, everyone seems to love this movie. I guess I fall in the 4% for the audience. Critic consensus for Weathering With You is beautifully animated and narratively engaging. Weathering With You further establishes writer-director Magda...
That guy.
Yep. I apologize. As a singularly talented filmmaker. Oh my god. I can't talk. Why do we do this podcast, Josh? English is not fucking good for me.
Because NDIS pays me to.
Oh. Did you go down to Nova Employment? Pick me out?
Yep.
All right, motherfucker. Give me the Weathering With You IMDb rating then.
4.6.
Because we both agree IMDb is harsher on movies, just in general.
Yeah.
7.5 out of 10.
Someone's sucking someone's dick.
I know, right?
IMDb are normally savage.
Yeah.
Only like 3 because that was a screen tear.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew it was animated. It did not fool me. 1 star.
Yeah.
Oh.
What I like about, and I've seen a lot of memes about it, when especially Japanese movies or slice of life, which is why I recommend to people watch more slice of life anime if you want to, but one's grounded more in reality. Like, K-On, very musical. But the ones with high production value, when they have a scene that's set in like an actual place, like Shibuya Crossing and stuff like that, it's very popular. Anyone can fucking draw that. It's
in fucking everything, yeah.
But the more rural Kyoto places and stuff that are out in the sticks, there's this guy or girl, I'm not sure, but the person goes around, they have a photo and they cover one side of the camera with a photo from anime. And then they have the real life place and they line it up. And it's almost to the fucking detail.
Oh, that's absolutely talented.
That's what I felt about the artwork in this.
Yeah.
They were actually representing Tokyo. They were actually showing what it really looks like rather than a fantastical... Like they do with with a lot of Disney movies, San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they... Even in the Avengers movies, they're in New York, but they're adding their own buildings. There's Oscorp, there's Stark Tower. They're adding their own. It's not the real life place. Whereas this, it feels you have the ads. They don't. McDonald's is called McDonald's, not McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's I don't give a fuck. This is Tokyo. I'm gonna draw Tokyo.
It's actually very true to real life Tokyo. As far as I know, never been.
Yeah, but. I do agree with you. The story was generic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like at least the message was generic.
Yeah.
I think I got more out of the Japanese in terms of emotion. It did drag. Didn't feel like it dragged as much as it did for you with what you've explained, because I didn't look until it was 50 minutes. Yeah, I felt like I was near the end of the movie.
Yeah, terribly, terribly slow.
It could have been more exciting. It could have if they'd gone certain directions in other areas. I don't know. I couldn't say what, but yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Do you want to give it a rating?
I personally, being a massive anime fan, having watched a broader genres than yourself.
Yeah,
I would give it an 8. Or 7.9. Yeah, I don't think it deserves an 8. 7.9.
Do we really care about that? That one.
I do, because that eight makes it like you need to watch it as soon as possible, kind of thing. Like, put it in your rotation. 7.9 is like, watch it if you have nothing else on Netflix to watch.
If you, that's a 7.9 for you.
Yeah, like if you've gone through all your anime on Netflix, if you've watched all the anime that we have available in Australia on Netflix, which isn't a whole lot, all the ones you want to watch, and you're like, fuck, I want, this is a good cuddle up with your missus while it's raining and watch it in sub. My subtitles were also fucked, by the way. I had a lot of TFs for ifs, a lot of OFs for ifs. I'm just glad I'm smart enough to know the difference.
I didn't see that in the subtitles I was reading.
Yeah, no, mine were fucked up.
Oh, that's a shame, actually, considering it's not in English for you.
I paid for it.
Yeah. What do you mean you paid for it?
I bought it ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's been sitting on my computer as a, like, a
Oh, like the Play Store or something. Yeah, no, yeah, I just watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, I also have, fucking the other one.
Oh, Your Name.
Yeah.
Yeah, same director, same animation studio. Yeah, see, look, I see what you're saying with the movie, but that's not a 7.9 rating for me.
No.
I would rate this at like a 5.5.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, like, so you wouldn't watch it again.
I would definitely not watch it again.
But you would tell people that you watched it.
If someone says to me, I really liked Your Name, have you seen Your Name? I go, I haven't seen Your Name, but if you really enjoyed Your Name, go watch Weathering With You.
So you would only recommend it if they enjoyed the other
one? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I don't think there's a single person in my life where I'd walk up to and go, man, you need to see Weathering With You. Or you, like, this is a movie you should watch. It's just not going to come up, you know?
See, I've already recommended it to one person who's a massive anime fan. He's an older bloke, amazed that he likes anime. He was saying that he's looking for movies to watch with his missus last night after I just finished watching it. Sorry, this morning, technically, because I finished at midnight.
I started at midnight.
I started at like 10:30. He asked me like a week ago, and I said to him, I was like, hey, if you're looking for cuddle movies, that's anime.
This is a very good cuddle movie.
You know, Weathering With You, especially with all the weather we've had.
Oh, yeah, we just had really bad storms.
Well, he's down in Melbourne, so it's...
Oh, there's still...
Forecast to rain soon. And he's like, oh, I might get on it. But I wouldn't... Like I said, I wouldn't go out of my way to be like, bro, you got to watch Weathering With You.
See, it's like a 7.9 is that for me, though. A 7.9 is you need to watch this.
Less so you need to watch it, but you should watch it.
Yeah. Well, then I have
7.5? Does that fit you?
Nah.
You should watch Weathering With You when you have time. When you have 2 hours of time, you have nothing else to do.
When you've been shot in the foot and you just need to fucking watch something.
When you slam your hand in your gas tank.
Okay. So we're hitting 40 minutes. We're at 37.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point to ask you the most important question.
We're not going
to
agree on this.
Obviously not.
Yeah.
We've just not agreed for 37 minutes. We're not going to agree on
this. We're not going to agree on this.
No. Josh, Weathering With You, does it make the cut?
I want to play Rock, Paper, Scissors, but my hand's sore.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's do it.
No, we'll postpone it.
Oh, we'll flip a coin.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Roll a 20-sided die. I've got dice over there. All
right. I was going to make a dice. Fuck it, they can hear it.
I'll just take it down in post. Wait. There should be a bag there, like a black bag.
There's no black bag.
Oh, no, maybe behind you?
Six-sided die.
Do it. The timber gold die. Do it.
This is 20.
Yeah, but it's a magic life counter.
Huh?
Yeah. Counts down. It's not even. It's a countdown die.
But it's 20.
Okay, roll it.
It's literally not.
Okay, do you want above or below 10?
I'll take above.
Okay.
Roll it onto my phone. See how we go.
Aha!
Alright.
Weathering With You does not make the cut.
Doesn't make the cut.
Roll the 3.
But depending on who you like more, go with them.
We all know everyone loves you more, Josh.
No one loves me more, but my mummy. I'm my mum's favourite child.
Well, you're giving her a grandchild. Yeah, of course.
My brother and sister have given her a grandchild, and I'm still her favourite. She will admit
that.
The
last of the lot.
Yeah.
That was What Makes the Cut episode 11 or 12?
11 or 12. Haven't been counting.
No, we record these in advance. Actually, I need to talk to you about that. Mm. You can find us at What Makes the Cut on Twitter. Please tell us what you think about the 40-minute podcast. Because I know an hour is a little bit too long. I think 40 minutes is still a touch long for some people, but...
All my podcasts I listen to are over an hour, so...
Yeah. That's you also listen to D&D actual plays.
Yeah.
Like, they're long format.
Well, isn't the one you listen to long format? Or is that 30 minutes?
Which one? How did this get made?
No, the D&D one. The big one.
Critical Role?
Yeah, how long is that?
Yeah, like 4-hour episodes.
Yeah. And you're worried about an hour? Motherfucker.
Yeah.
My D&D podcasts are an hour long.
Different shit.
Fortnightly an hour.
This has been What Makes the Cut. You can find us at What Makes the Cut on Twitter. Our website is currently down.
You broke it.
I did break it. But tell us what you think of this newer format, or if you like the two movies, Death Battle kind of style. Last words, Josh?
Find me on OnlyFans at 10-inch long nose hairs.
Yeah.
All right.
You need to make that account now.
I do.
Oh, fuck.
I actually have an OnlyFans.
Do you actually?
Yeah. I don't post on it anymore. Have a lovely day. Bye.